In this season, the church invites us to look at and consider the end times, both the reality of the end of time when Christ will come again, and our own personal end when we will be claimed by death, at least our bodies will be. It is helpful each year for us to remember that these are realities that we believe as Catholics, and to come to grips with them should be a normal part of our lives. Jesus speaks about the trials and the tests that will come. In this passage we hear today and other passages as well, he speaks about the coming end. What does the church tell us about what we believe, what we understand about the end? You know, we don't really know exactly when it will be. That's clear. The form of this world, distorted by sin, is passing away, and we are taught that God is preparing a new dwelling and a new earth. The kingdom will be fulfilled, not by a historic triumph of the church through progressive ascendancy, but rather through the coming of God, through the coming of Christ, the triumph that he will have. Not by some historic triumph of the church, but rather through this victory that God wins in the final unleashing of evil. God's triumph over the revolt of evil will take the form of the last judgment. Now at this judgment, the conduct of each one of us, the secrets of our hearts, will be brought to light. Our attitude about our neighbor will disclose the acceptance or refusal of grace and divine love. The resurrection of the dead, of both the just and the unjust, will precede the last judgment. In the presence of Christ, the truth of each of our hearts will be revealed and laid bare. Now the final judgment takes into account every good and every bad that we have ever done. For instance, if we think of something like St. Thomas Aquinas and his teachings, they're still having an effect in our time. His good deeds are therefore still meriting rewards even now, even though he lived long ago. While something like the evil brought about by the Holocaust is still having an impact on our current times as well. At the end of time, all things will be revealed and weighed by God. The last judgment will reveal that God's justice triumphs over all the injustices committed by God's creatures. The message of the last judgment calls us to conversion. And it kind of reminds us that while we are here, while we're alive, we can still be converted. We can still change direction. So because of our belief in the reality of eternal life, both of heaven and hell, we want to be moving in the right direction. We want to be having a trajectory that is going towards the Lord. Are we becoming more aware of how God is present and how to live with him even now? Are we trying to grow in virtue and avoid vice? Are we trying to avoid sin and trying to do good deeds? Would it be obvious to an outsider that we are intentionally living for Christ, that he's the very center of our lives? These are the kind of questions that get at what we are doing now, even now in our lives. These are sort of a litmus test, if you will, that can give us indications of whether or not we are living for Christ. Everything depends on him. Everything. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So these indicators are important, but do we know Christ? Are we a friend of Christ? Do we love Christ? Do we talk to him? Do we rely upon him and give ourselves to him daily? Sometimes as Catholics, we can have a very limited perspective on what it means to follow Christ. We can fall into a sort of minimalist faith, an obligation-based faith, a faith which is, for all intents and purposes, dead. That kind of Catholicism has a very limited ability to change our life, and it will never help us to find the joy of living in Christ. If you never had a personal relationship with someone, if you never have that experience in this life, we would be very unhappy, I think. It would be a drudgery. But once we've had a deep personal relationship with someone, a way to share life, the experience of having a good time with somebody, laughing, joking, talking about the important things of life, that kind of relationship is meant to transform us and help us to experience what we are really meant to experience in this life. And that's the kind of relationship that we're meant to have with Christ, a deeply personal one. And if we don't have that, if we don't experience that, it's not because Christ doesn't want that with us, but it's because we haven't sought it or we haven't found it yet. In general, these are the things that we want to be mindful of in the, we would say, the remote preparation for death, meaning it's far off yet, it's somewhere out in the distance, we don't know exactly where yet. Of course, we can never know exactly, but it seems like we haven't some time yet. But these are the kind of things we want to be thinking about even now. Now, what can we do when death is quickly approaching and we're aware of it? Maybe we have some kind of terminal illness, or, you know, for some reason we are, you know, on death's door. How can we prepare for death at that point? The Church offers us many powerful sacraments and gifts at the end of life, and these should be received if at all possible. They are often called the last rites. They encompass a number of things. The first one would be sacramental reconciliation, confession, in other words. Confessing our sins to a priest. This breaks down any barriers that stand between us and Christ, allowing grace to freely flow upon us. Second would be viaticum, which is receiving the Eucharist, especially if it appears to be the last time that we'll be able to do so. This is the food for the journey. The Eucharist is a source of strength for us. Christ tells us, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. Third would be anointing of the sick. Now, this can be received not only at death, but at other times when we're sick or undergoing some kind of health emergency. And this sacrament gives us spiritual strength and is meant to give us in our soul that strength and hope that God is with us and to kind of reassure us. And it can even cause, and has caused at times, physical healing as well. Last of all is the apostolic pardon. This is a prayer that is prayed by a priest over a person, and it draws upon the graces and the merits of Christ and his church to not only cancel out sin, but the punishment due to sin, basically applying this purification, this salvific gift, to the purifying of our souls. All these gifts are at the disposal of the church by Christ's generosity, and we should take advantage of them if we can. Now, of course, the disposition of our soul, in other words, the readiness of our souls to receive these gifts and the degree of our openness to grace will impact their effectiveness, which is always the case for any sacrament. These sacraments can only be applied to the living, never to the dead. But even if someone has passed, a priest can be called to come and pray and give a blessing to the body. The line between life and death is not always as clear as our world makes it out to be. In conclusion, take time these next few weeks as we approach, you know, next weekend is the last weekend of the ordinary time, if you will, and we enter then into Advent right after that. So take these next couple weeks to pray, to consider, to reflect on our final end, and to make both remote preparation, those far-off preparations, make sure we're going in the right direction, and making arrangements for sacramental care at the hour of our deaths, making sure that our friends, our family members know our wishes in this regard. O Lord, set my whole heart on your promise of heaven. Guide my feet in your ways that I may walk the straight path towards eternal life. Let me cast off everything that holds me back on my journey here, so that all my strength may be directed toward that goal.